Ramsey TV.
Check this out, ladies and gentlemen. Some people think, a lot of people think, that Satan was created beautiful, created perfect, created with every advantage a spiritual being could possibly have in heaven. His own air-conditioned office, a staff that acted at his bidding. Even his name on a nameplate, on his desk, and on the door. But somehow he got a bug up his spiritual thing and decided that he wasn't going to put up with this nameplate business anymore. Wasn't going to put up with being very powerful at the right hand of God and enjoying every advantage, the air-conditioned office, everything. No, he was fed up with that crap. He's going to rebel. He's going to take a third of the angels with him. And so Satan, exercising his own free will, by the way, rebelled from God. And what could God do except shrug his shoulders and say, "Ooh, I didn't see that one coming." And then ever since then, God has been trying to keep up with the old devil, trying to undo his works. Oh, I can't undo all of them. He's pretty speedy and he's pretty tricky. I mean, look what he did in the Garden of Eden. Hoo-hoo, didn't see that one coming either. Stupid woman. Well, I got great news for you. Today, possibly tomorrow. Well, I'll have good news for you tomorrow no matter what. But it will probably be on this theme again. The fall of Satan is a theological fiction. And I, Martin Zender, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, will once again expose yet another Christian assault upon God's throne, because this is nothing less. Welcome to the show. Welcome to MZTV. I'm Martin Zender, and I hate it when people try to chisel away at God's throne, try to make God scrambling to keep up with his universe, which has gotten out of control, went off the leash, off the reservation, and God hasn't been able to really... Well, at the end, he manages to salvage a little bit, but Satan gets the majority of it. And the funny thing, the tragic thing is, the stupid thing is that Christians want to come to their churches and be comforted by this news that Satan broke the leash and he's not in any way, shape, or form under control. And... well, that's what they taught in the Garden of Eden. Satan wasn't under control because God wanted to have a perfect universe and Satan wrecked it. And so God apparently couldn't stop him because he has a free will. So how in the world could God promise to stop him in the future? It would be a sham promise. I would have to say to God, well, you couldn't stop him in the past. What makes you think you're going to stop him in the future? Oh, I'd become an optimist over the years. Well, your optimism means nothing if your creatures are sovereign. Stop making sense for a living. Yeah, I know, because the Christian God makes no sense. You call this comfort? Satan went bad, started good, but went bad? And yeah, the whole idea is God tried his best. Satan broke the leash. God gave it the old what for? Gave it the old what for? But how is God to have anticipated Satan's stubbornness? Look at all the trouble Satan has caused. I told you yesterday about the body of Christ. We are going to be crushing Satan under our feet. This was a reason not to fear him. In fact, he fears you. He knows you're going to be the undoing of him. And you might say, well, that means he's going to be coming at me with satanic fury. You're protected. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You're protected. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So the whole thing comes down to free will. It's one thing that Christians want to give 8 billion people, is that how many people are in the world now, their own free wills, but to give Satan a free will? Damn, that would be scary. But don't worry, it's not true. I don't know if anybody's read the book of Job. Any Christian has, I know you have. Satan can't do whatever he wants. It's God's the one who said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And then the whole thing comes from God. And then Satan is asking permission. Well, can I do this? Can I do that? Well, you can do this, but not that. See, totally under God's control. And I have this to say to you. Satan was never a good being who went bad. Satan was created the way he was. He was created to be an adversary. Just as Jesus Christ was created to be the image of the invisible God, Satan was created to be an adversarial force against God. God needs an antagonist, just like every protagonist of every novel or every movie needs an antagonist. Your Luke Skywalker needs Darth Vader. Your Aaron Brockovich needs Pacific Gas and Electric. So, likewise here, God needs an adversary. And he didn't take the chance that one would happen to rebel. Oh, I hope one of my spiritual beings rebels. Otherwise, I won't have a foil to wrestle against to show how powerful and strong I am. How can I send a savior if people don't become sinners? Oh, how long do I have to wait for this rebellion? No. There never was a rebellion. Satan was created the way he was on purpose. He was a murderer from the beginning. Oh, I just quoted scripture. It's Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44. This is what Jesus said about the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. And now I'm going to quote John again from his first letter, his first epistle, chapter 3, verse 8. The devil has sinned from the beginning. Now, here are two very simple, very understandable verses. Read them again. I'll do it for you. He was a murderer from the beginning. The devil has sinned from the beginning. Have your kids read these verses. Do a little experiment. Have your kids read these verses. Take these verses to the grocery store and have the clerk there read these verses. Or you can read the verses to the clerks. Then ask your kids and ask the grocery clerk if, according to these verses, Satan started good and went bad. And they will say, no, according to these verses, that would be impossible. Ah, crazy heretics. No, not at all. It's just that your kids and the grocery clerk don't have a theological bias to nurse. Only theologians and their extended families have that. They need Satan to be free. They need Satan to be sovereign because they cannot. This is their problem. You don't have this problem. They cannot make God the creator of Satan the way he was. They cannot believe that Satan was a murderer and a sinner from the beginning because that would mean God made him that way. And since they believe in eternal torment, that's their whole problem. Since they believe in eternal death, eternal pain, eternal misery, yee, come to our church. What are you going to do? Bring me peace? Are you kidding me? Because they believe all that junk, they cannot make God responsible for any of it. So you see, they're writing a bad check to cover a bad check. The first bad check is that eternal torment's true, or eternal death is true, eternal separation from God is true. And the second bad check is, well, we can't have God responsible for this. How can God be responsible for sending someone to hell for eternity? So we're going to have to put responsibility on Satan. That's what we'll do. And then under that, we'll put the responsibility on every human being. That's what we'll do. What could be bad about that? Only this. You've kicked God off his throne. God is no longer sovereign. Yeah, that's what you've done. You kicked God from his throne. That's not good. They don't think that far through. We do. And we know that God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his will. We know that Satan is absolutely necessary for, again, God to have an antagonist to wrestle against, to show his power, to show his salvation, show his might, show his strength. All that needs Satan. So he created him that way. Didn't take any chances. Didn't wait for him to rebel so he could get on with the contrast business. No, created him the way he needed him to be, just like an author creates the antagonists of his story the way they need to be. An author, a playwright, a screenwriter, novelist. God's the ultimate screenwriter, the ultimate playwright, the ultimate novelist. And so the thing is, when Satan has done his job, as I told you yesterday, when Satan has done his job, he's sent to the submerged chaos where he can't mess up anything anymore. Why wasn't he bound in Eden? I asked that question yesterday because God needed him. God needed him to do what he's doing now. And another great secret here that the Christians don't know is that every knee will bow to Christ in subjection to Christ, acclaiming Christ, every knee, whether celestial, terrestrial, or subterranean. In other words, Satan will one day come under the majestic, good rule of Jesus Christ. Yes, Satan is one of the sovereignties. Great sovereignty, powerful, not a sovereignty in the sense that he's free, but a sovereignty in the sense that he has authority, but it's delegated authority. It's God's left hand. God doesn't do evil directly, even though he's completely responsible for evil. God, yeah, Isaiah 45:7, I create evil. God's responsible for it, and he uses Satan to enact it. Satan's just the middleman. God didn't kill Job's family. He sent Satan to do it. That sounds awful, I know. But it was a lesson. Job got more than he had at the beginning. So yeah, it's all hard. But when this all thing comes out in the wash, and when Satan himself is saved, then everybody's going to look back, even Satan himself, and say, "Oh, I see why that had to happen. Okay, I see why it had to happen. Now I do. Wasn't so sure back then when it was going on. I thought it was a little heavy-handed. Thought there was a lot of unnecessary evil." Don't you think that sometimes? I do. It's like, okay, we got it. The contrast principle. Got it. Cut. Print it. That's a wrap. No, I guess we still need a little more evil. But the day is coming when Satan himself will be saved. I got to give you a verse on that, since that sounds fantastic, but it's really easily proved in the scriptures, if you're not nursing a theological bias. For this, I will go to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 16, for in him, Christ is all created, that in the heavens, that on the earth, the visible and the invisible. This includes Satan. Satan is created by Christ. Whether thrones or lordships, Satan certainly has a throne and a lordship. He's a sovereignty. Whether thrones or lordships or sovereignties, all authorities or authorities, all is created through him and for him. And he is before all, and all has its cohesion in him. And he's the head of the body. I'm getting to it. This is verse 18, Colossians 1. And he, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the ecclesia, who is sovereign, firstborn from among the dead, that in all he may be becoming first. For in him the entire complement, that is everything that God is, delights to dwell in Christ. And through him, here it is, verse 20, Colossians chapter 1, through him to reconcile all to him. This is Jesus Christ reconciling all things to God, making peace through the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on the earth or those in the heavens. There's no other realm, whether those on the earth or those in the heavens. Even those under the earth are still part of the earth. In Philippians, we read that every knee shall bow, celestial, terrestrial, and subterranean. But here, the subterranean is included in whether those on the earth or those in the heavens. And you, being once estranged, okay, he's going on here, but the key verse is he's going to reconcile all things to himself, and that includes Satan. But for now, it's important for you to know, and I'm going to go into the details. We're going to get into the weeds here, because I know you love it, of why Satan is not off the leash. I'm going to take two passages that Christianity has taken completely out of context, and I'm going to explain to you, show you how they've done it, and you're going to see it. It's not that hard. And if anybody, like looking over your shoulder, if any Christian happens to be watching this, you know, welcome to the show. I want you to watch this show. I know I'm a little hard on you sometimes, but somebody's got to be. It's tough love. If you're still stuck in this theological bog that Satan is running amok, and that he will be eternally at variance with God and God's will, here are two more verses. Here are two more verses that will help pull you out of that. Proverbs 16:4. Yahweh has made everything for its own pertinent end, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. God has made the wicked for the day of evil. Wicked people and the wicked adversary are doing their job during the day of evil. But there is another day coming that won't be a day of evil. This is a day of evil. But there's a 1,000-year period of peace coming on the earth. That won't be evil. There'll still be evil things happening on the earth, but the eon will be good. But again, there'll be some evil things happening, which I just said, which I'm not going to repeat it a third time because I don't like it too much. But eon 5, Now we're talking. Eon 5, there will be no evil happening on that earth. And then, that'd be the new earth. Yeah. After this present earth is destroyed, after the great white throne judgment, there's a new heavens and a new earth. And the city, the new city, Jerusalem, comes down from heaven, settles upon the new earth. And this earth lasts at least 10,000 years. We don't know how long for sure. But after this happens, the consummation happens. God becomes all in all. Then we don't need any more adversaries. In fact, we don't even need any more rulership from Christ, because Christ rules so well during the eons that he abolishes the need for rule. You'll never hear this in church. You're never going to hear any of this in church. Here's a verse for you, Isaiah 54:16. You won't hear this in church. I created the ruiner to harm. That goes along with the other verses, doesn't it? John 8:44 and 1 John 3:8. The Bible complements itself at every turn. These verses I just read, Proverbs 16:4, Isaiah 54:16, these verses have been in the Bible a long time. Why haven't you seen them? Because they shatter. Just these two verses alone, besides the ones I read before, these two verses shatter the two most beloved theological biases, free will and eternal torment. And a lot of proud people, I'm sorry if there's a Christian watching and maybe the Christian is one of these proud people, I hope to cure you of that affliction before too long. They want to keep these biases going. Why? To preserve their pride. Because if you think other people are going to hell, you can't put it on God's shoulders, unless you're a Calvinist. That's another wacko group of people altogether. Don't even want to talk about them. So you have to put it on their shoulders. That is, the people going to hell, you have to make it their fault. But that means, and there's no other way around this, that you going to heaven is to your credit. No matter how much you say, my salvation is not of me. Praise God, he saved me. No, you saved yourself by your free will. But I'm hoping you're going to let go of that. I'm hoping you're going to let go of your pride. You're going to realize that in your flesh dwells no good thing. And that you're going to follow this. You're going to go with me. I'm going to lead you through the scriptures, and you're going to see the truth. Because if Satan, I'll end with this. If Satan somehow escaped God's control and presides over his own sovereign little corporation, then God can't, this is what the Christians believe, God can't help those ensnared by Satan. You know what the church says? Well, God won't force himself on anyone. And the way they paint God, it's like God is shrugging his shoulders and saying, hey, don't look at me, he started it. Pointing at Satan. He started it. Don't. What are you looking at me for? I don't know. Maybe the buck stops at your desk. Hoo-hoo. No, I didn't do this. Satan did it. Didn't plan for this to happen at all. Where was I when this took place? Who's responsible for this? You are numbnuts. Who? Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Yeah, well, I don't know if you notice. Of course, you notice my audience, smartest audience on YouTube. This dethrones God. But do any of the people who dethrone God care? No, they don't really seem to care. As long as they preserve their free will. And see, that's just a nasty side effect of preserving their free will. They have to preserve Satan's free will to be consistent. And they like their eternal torment because they want to see their enemies get what's coming to them. And they want to stay that way. But if these verses, John 8:44, 1 John 3:8, Proverbs 16:4, Isaiah 54:16, and Isaiah 45:7 for that matter, I created you. If these verses mean exactly what they say, that God is responsible for Satan's present condition as well as all the ensuing trouble, it's all temporary, trouble's going to be abolished, evil's going to be abolished, all the problems that are necessary for you to eventually enjoy eternal life and be happy, all this is necessary, but all the trouble is going to be done away with, abolished. Satan himself is going to be saved. But if these verses mean what they say, then Satan's free will is the first to go, because God made the ruiner to harm. He doesn't have a free will. God created him the way he was. Yahweh has made everything for its own pertinent end, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Oh, so much for Satan's free will. And if Satan doesn't have a free will, then if there's no Santa Claus, I wonder if there's no Tooth Fairy or Easter Bunny. Yeah, everybody else's free will soon follows suit. There's no free will. There's only room for one free will in the universe. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's not Satan's. It's God's. So at this point, if anyone would still want to keep eternal torment on the table, then they've got to make God directly responsible for people being tortured in hell for eternity. This is a gag-inducing concept, and only Calvinists can love, and they do. Now, it's not like I'm unsympathetic to people who have a hard time believing this. I know, I realize how hard it is to see God behind everything. It takes a mature person. God will not tell you this until he thinks you're mature enough to hear it. It's always been true, but you have to sneak up on this. It only becomes palatable when we finally realize God's purpose. As I read in Colossians 1:20, to reconcile all things to himself. Once you realize that's God's purpose, then you can back up. See, you have to start with the purpose. You have to see the end. Then you can back up and tolerate the means to the end. But if you think God's purpose is eternal chaos, eternal ruin, eternal harm, eternal pain, then when you back up, you have to hide a bunch of verses under the rug because you have to take God off his throne because you can't. That's an unfortunate side effect. You can't make him responsible for all this chaos, for all this eternal evil. So you got so many verses you have to push under the rug. The rug starts to resemble a beret on the Matterhorn. It's just like this big pile of, what's that? Well, that's a bunch of verses I have to ignore. Wait a minute. That's a bunch of verses you have to ignore? Oh, yeah. Well, why do you have to ignore all those verses? Well, I got to keep my free will here. All these verses disprove free will. Yeah, they don't want to talk about it. What's that big pile? Yeah, that's all. That's all the verses we've ignored. I mean, I actually credit God with evil. And when I do that, some people say, how could you think that way? Well, yeah, it is tough some days. I don't like everything God does. Are you kidding me? It's tough, but I have to believe the truth. My emotions will follow. My emotions sometimes don't follow. But spiritual truth is a spiritual truth. It's easier to believe that God's... There's only two things you can believe, that God is responsible for evil or he's not responsible for evil. Believing that God's responsible for evil is easier than believing the universe is in chaos and that evil is eternal. I can't really ask these people, how can you think your way? Because the people who believe this way, they hardly ever think about it. It's too confusing to them. And it's Satan himself who has confused them. I'm exposing Satan, and I'm putting God back where he belongs. I'm not putting God back where he belongs. I'm showing you the scriptures that puts God where he belongs, which is on the throne as the sovereign of the universe.